You tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to BYT Radio. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This episode is with Arctic House's Tati Pastakova. Arctic House's new exhibit opens this weekend. It's called New Nature, and it will run through the holiday season. We actually published a Dream Jobs feature with Tati and Sandro, her partner slash curator slash whatever, on British Junk Things this week. It's a very good read. Kaylee Dugan did that, so I highly recommend reading that. And I also highly recommend going to this exhibit. We touched upon two of the things that I found most fascinating in the interview that Kaylee did with Tati. So we expound on two heavy ideas, one being the idea of, you know, God, and the other being how art affects people of all types, of all abilities, let's just say. This is a relatively short episode. You should spend much longer in Arctic House when you go there than the interview that we'd conducted. Once again, completely family-friendly, and I mean that in a way that doesn't suck. It's not necessarily for kids, but kids would definitely enjoy it. If you want Best Weekend Bets, if you want more options of what to do this weekend in Washington, D.C., go to brightestyoungthings.com. Those are currently available. And if you're going to do one thing this weekend, we're going to recommend Snallygaster this Saturday on Pennsylvania Avenue. Phil Runko has a very, very big preview for that on brightestyoungthings.com this week. We also published our least douchey bars in D.C. list. Svetlana, Kaylee, and I spent a lot of time on this. It's a lot of fun. And for the first time in the site's 12-year history, we also started writing about bars in other cities that are worth traveling to. So even if you hate Washington, D.C. as a drinking town, you might enjoy places in Dublin or Mexico City or Paris or a lot closer like Key West. Or is it the closest one? It might be the closest one. No, there's one in Omaha. Omaha is not as far as Key West, I don't think. I should figure out geography. Anyways, here's my interview with Tati. Arctic House's brand new exhibit opens this weekend. Read our Dream Jobs interview on BritishJunkThings.com. And without further ado, here's Tati and the actual correct way to pronounce her last name. Okay, so what's the American pronunciation?
Pastakova.
And what's the at-home pronunciation?
Pastakova.
Which do you prefer?
I got used to it. I mean, having lived in the U.S. since 2000 and having butchered my name in every possible way, I think the worst was when I was graduating. I went to 2 years of boarding high school in Indiana, and it was a graduating class, and it was like Tanisha Pashuka, whatever that was, and I couldn't even recognize myself. I was like, oh, is it me? Do I have to go up?
Yeah. Why Indiana?
I don't know. My parents thought it was a great, they've heard great things, that it's a great place to raise family, kids, and we found this great high school. They're like, yes, you should go there. And it was like a graduating class of 700 people. I was like, whoa, this is too big.
It's too big. Okay, because where were you coming from? You graduated
from? I was coming from Crimea. Mm-hmm. My graduating class there was probably 80 people.
So that's quite a big jump.
That is pretty huge, considering that you're changing, as a teenager, you're changing the country, you're changing the language and everyone around it.
Do you feel like you had an advantage because you went somewhere very boring like Indiana, so it was an easier switch versus coming to like Washington, D.C. or New York City?
I think it was a harder switch.
Why was it harder?
It's very Midwest.
It is.
People don't leave their state. People are very close-minded.
Yeah, we're in Indiana.
Indianapolis.
Okay. Sorry I keep talking about Indiana. I'm not saying that you're representative of Indiana in any way. I'm not a fan of Indiana in any way whatsoever. Indianapolis is one of the most boring capitals. It is one of the flattest capitals. They have a few tall buildings, and they have the Indiana Pacers and Indiana Colts, and that's about it. That's not a good thing. Sorry,
well,
I'm just shitting
all
over
Indiana. They have the racetrack, too.
They sure do have a racetrack.
You give that to them, and they had Formula One, actually, during that time when I was there.
They sure do. I am not a fan of Indiana, and I say that with no love lost between me and Indiana. I've always been against Indiana. I'm from the state next door. What this place does, How do I say Arctic House? Is it Arctic House?
Arctic House, is yes, okay. You got it. It's okay. Arts, tech, and housing. We house all that.
So you kind of specialize in non-language art.
Yes, we specialize, I would say, in a participatory type of art.
Yeah.
In digital art.
Yeah. Do you think any of that is because you had that transition from going to Crimea to Indiana, where you wanted to do, work in art that didn't deal with language?
I never saw myself working in art. I came to this country and I came to study international affairs.
Okay.
Art was not part of that. Art was part of my upbringing because the city where I'm from in Crimea is rooted in the arts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a maritime city and we have one of famous Russian painters who's a maritime type of artist. He has his huge museum there, his school, which my dad went into. But my parents never thought that arts was a way to, I guess, in today's world, to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad was always entrepreneurial. So I was raised seeing my parents work hard as entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
That's not something they wanted for me. They wanted more stable, and international affairs or being in the government seemed the way for it. So they sent me here, and I studied international affairs and economics.
Okay.
And I got into finance, and over the years, I made my way back into being an entrepreneur and an art-trepreneur, as they say these days.
I'm assuming the background in economics is quite useful when you have to run an organization like this.
I've got my MBA at GW, and I can say that, yes, it is useful.
Yeah. But you can't really teach taste. So the art side is a little bit different than the economic side, where you could teach me economics, you can't teach me what makes good interactive art.
Well, we try to educate.
Okay.
I think what we do at Arctic House, you can't teach something, you can educate people about what this new art is, what the possibilities are.
Yeah.
Not everyone will like it, but having an understanding of it and figuring their way through it and understanding what they like is what Arctic House does. We do a variety of art that is created with technology.
If you're going to scout for art, if you're a traditional museum or a gallery, you kind of have a concrete idea of, like, you know, that's what a painting looks like. This is what's going to look like on my wall. When you're working for this, how are you approaching artists? Do you approach them to come in and you create a piece for the space itself? Or do they have something in mind already and then they, like, try it out here and you judge it here? How does this process work?
The process works is that where you look for artists who doing something innovative, something groundbreaking, and then we work with them in most instances, in 99%, to create an exhibit with their work.
Okay.
We bring out what they typically have in their computers and something that lives within their screens and create an exhibit that public can experience.
Do you feel that people may be a little hesitant to refer to anything that deals with this much technology as art? Is there any pushback from the old school?
We haven't received a pushback. I think what we've seen is that during the first few months that we were open, we've had from curators and art directors from all of the Smithsonian come through to see what we do and how we do it. And it's exciting to see that they're looking up to it and that they're trying to improve and step up.
Sure. How did this specific space come about? Not Arctic House, but the address of where we're at, because you're next to a Potbelly's and a bunch of government buildings and highways. Why this location?
We were looking for the longest time to find a location in Washington, D.C. that we could house. D.C. has been experiencing a boom in the last 7 years.
That's correct.
So locations have been kind of scarce. We've been looking anywhere from Georgetown to downtown to even Ivy City on the outskirts. And we came across this location. We just sent out an e-blast saying, actually our brokers, that we're looking for a space. And Republic Properties, who was owning it, got back to us saying, we have something. The interesting part about this location is that when it was built 25 years ago, it was meant for a performance theater.
Really?
The word on the street is that Woolly Mammoth was supposed to open here. It's a little tight for a performance theater, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But it was an empty shell. It was just standing here empty, and we saw potential in it. What excited us the most is after seeing a lot of art spaces in DC close down, that we had a potential of bringing one that was meant for use.
Yeah.
Bring it back to that.
So what was it being used as if it was...
It was not used at all. It never had a certificate of occupancy. We couldn't grandfather anything, so there was a long process of getting things up to code. And that's part of an excitement, is that there wasn't a use meant, but it was never...
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Seen through.
You were kind enough to speak with British Young Things, and recently, this week, we ran your Dream Jobs feature. And you mentioned two things that I'd like to discuss, if it's okay with you. The first is the idea of God and art. That was the part of the piece that you did, or the part of the interview that you granted, that was so, I guess, out of left field for me. It was unexpected. Where do you see the role of God when it comes to art in general? And what does the role of God play in this current exhibit?
To us, Sandra and I are... religious people,
mm-hmm.
and we were asked that question where the inspiration comes, and we said that the biggest inspiration is from God, because of Him as the creator of the universe, the nature.
Mm-hmm.
When we were recently on this trip, we were overseas in Greece, and when you look at things, and we always have these discussions, we're very open-minded people, and we talk about it, and yes, there is, say, the theory of evolution and other things. To us, and especially to me, when I was looking at it, I'm like, well, I can see the thought process behind that, but everything is so, in a certain way, perfect that it feels like it was pre-designed, and then it the evolution kind of happened to that. But if it wasn't pre-designed, then we could see so many... Why don't we see so many other variations? Why don't we see mutations more and other things? So that's where... the God plays in the art. Is a lot of art is an imitation of things. And another example that I made in that article was, I was in my living room and I was looking at the ceiling, and I see that from the window you see a projection of the sun coming through the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very much like what we tried to do here. So it's imitation of things that we find in nature. New Nature, the current exhibit, is an imitation in that sense. It uses basic algorithms, and it uses machine learning,
mm-hmm.
to where certain elements are created, algorithms are used to put them together, but then as you interact, things evolve.
Okay. All of that sounds great, but you mentioned one word. You mentioned mutations. If because God exists, or because of the role of God, we would see, without that, we would see more mutations. Is that essentially?
Well, I guess my question is, if we're just saying that things started from evolution,
yes,
from nothing, my questioning was, why don't we see more variety of
Perfect.
Things?
Later on, I think it's probably the next part of the article, you mentioned to me the best part about what you do here, and probably the best part of any museum. You had a child with disabilities come, or no, it was a parent talk to you and said, like, my child came to this exhibit 5 times and it, like, changed them for a better thing. It's not to sound crass here, all disabilities are essentially just genetic mutations, though.
Well, but I wouldn't say, you know, you can say that certain, yes, disabilities are because our genes are not working perfectly.
Yes.
But I'm talking about, you know, mutations of why do we not have, you know, we all still have 5, you know, fingers on our hands in most cases.
In most cases.
But if the evolution came, why don't we have people who are able to live in the sea? Like we see in this,
sure.
you know, fantastic type of movies where you have...
Well, here's a good thing about that. Due to climate change, we might mutate into having to be able to live in the sea. So you don't knock this out. In 1,000 years, there might be sea people. It might be very common.
But that's part of, I think, adaptation.
But,
sure. you know, if we talk about the fact that we started so early on, there should be types of people who are living in the sea. Maybe we don't know about them. Okay, then I can, you know, dismiss that.
Sure.
But maybe there are mermaids. But I think that... In my personal opinion, that we could see more of those.
Okay. Can we go back to the child with disabilities?
Yes.
That had to feel amazing. That had to, like, justify everything you've ever done, because you've made someone's life better by presenting art into the world. Like, what's a purer form of life than that?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, we believe that art should trigger emotions, art should touch. And seeing, because when we look at technology, we always look at it as something that is cold, something that doesn't create feelings or has feelings. So that was a very important moment for us to realize that we were doing something right, we were on the right track, and the possibilities are extensive. Something we're looking into is we're in the process of launching an Artec House, nonprofit Artec House Foundation, where we can explore more things like that as to, one, the education of the arts and technology, the ways that it can help with different disabilities or help understand art better. That's the goal. But yes, to see that is a big deal.
Can we talk about the space itself? It's beautiful. It's great. It's so unique. The only thing that I could think is relatively similar is virtual reality. Mm-hmm. I hate virtual reality. It makes me nauseous. What are your thoughts on virtual reality?
So we just finished our exhibit that for the first time had a virtual reality element. I've never tried virtual reality up until then. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is that I was afraid that it's going to make me nauseous and sick. So when we had 8 stations put up, I forced myself, I was like, I have to put it on because I need to know what we're presenting. And it was a very different experience. It was very smooth. It was moving into the space and falling down. And to me, it was virtual reality that I was able to appreciate.
Okay.
Why I would say Artec House, it is... You can compare it to virtual reality, but the great part is that you're there experiencing with someone else.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider virtual
reality. And that
reality.
Breaks all the, you know, our thoughts about what virtual reality is, because virtual reality really separates us, at least at this point in time.
Yeah.
We try to bring people together and collaborate and enjoy their experience. But we've had recently someone experienced a lot of virtual reality, and when they put on the headset and they said, this is the best I've seen because it is so smooth. It is so...
Yeah.
So maybe I've had a really good experience with it.
Well, yeah. It's the newest, the cutting edge, but still, it's like something about it literally makes me feel nauseous. Some people say it's the sound. Some people say it's the shock of going between the two worlds. I don't know. It might be my age. I'm too old for this, but that's okay. This is kind of a hack question, and I apologize, but I need to ask it. What is the art that inspires you? What is the art that you try to seek out outside of Artec House?
Art that inspires. I get inspired, and that was another, I think, mention, is by Gaudi.
Okay.
What moves me in his architectural designs is the use of light, the use of natural elements that is beyond... He takes things that are in our nature and enhances them with the structure that he creates. When you walk into Sagrada Familia and you see the different colors, you see different light beams come through, that is an immersive experience. Mm-hmm. And I think being able to create immersive experience through technology is what the biggest inspiration for that Artec House is.
Since you're not alone in this venture, are you willing to program something that you don't necessarily like, but you could recognize that is good?
I think Sandra and I have been really good on the taste that we've had. We have a really team where we do compromise on things, and we understand that. And I'm really excited to support all of their ideas and thoughts. It takes a village to make this happen.
The person behind New Nature, he's moderately young. He's in his 30s. His inspiration was like Tamagotchi toys.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty new. That's not something you're going to see a lot. Did you ever play with Tamagotchi toys?
I do remember having a Tamagotchi.
Did you really?
Yes, I
did
killed it.
Did you enjoy it? You killed it. I feel like our current Tamagotchi toy is Instagram. I can't think of a more Instagrammable spot in DC than here. What are your thoughts on the social media device, social media platform, Instagram?
I think Instagram, you know, I don't feel that we should be, a lot of people are like, oh, should we fight it? It's part of our lives. It's integrated into what we are and who we are today. We share things, and it's important. It's for us, it's a word of mouth. It's for people to see what it is.
Mm-hmm.
For people who come through and take photos, sometimes you see such incredible photos that it's an art of its own.
Sure, I don't disagree.
And I think so far out of all social media, I think it's definitely my personal favorite platform, just because you are able to find things, you're able to connect, you're able to share your experiences and see what others have to say.
What's cool about you guys is every single person's experience is unique because it's living. What you're putting up isn't a static painting. It's not a static anything. So no matter what, whatever someone shares on Instagram, it's highly unlikely that it'll ever be created again. So that's kind of neat.
No, definitely. I don't think that we ever wanted to be an Instagrammable place. I think there are other places that you can call that were created for Instagram.
Sure.
That's not the driving factor for us. If we wanted, we would just create a bunch of photo ops and let people go through and take them.
So if you're ever short on money, that will be the next exhibit. The Instagram. No, you'll just close.
No, I think we have plenty of other ideas that we can create. We do... we've had all sorts of inquiries, but we don't have short ideas on the creativity, I think.
Have you ever been through like a tunnel of love type of thing? Or like you'll see it at the National Zoo sometimes, or you look at like the Arboretum, where it's just like essentially exists just for couples to like walk through and hold hands and stuff like that. Have you ever been through one of those?
I have not.
That's what this reminds me. That's what you're created here. I'm really surprised a casting agent hasn't reached, or sorry, a location scout hasn't reached out to be like, we got to have the dramatic kiss here. We have to have the cute romantic teen moment here in this room. Because it makes you want to be with someone else and hold hands in a wonderful, wonderful way.
So we are very popular for date nights in the evening. And we think it's great. We've had a few proposals in the space. We love seeing that.
Yeah.
I think Washington Post even featured us during the summer as the top date destination. So it's great. We appreciate that. We do, though, not allow any commercial photography or things like that. So, but anyone who wants to come and enjoy and connect, absolutely. Sandra even told the story recently that this exhibit saved... one marriage, which was great.
Okay, yeah, you mentioned that. That's a lovely idea, but maybe those people shouldn't be married at this point. Because if you're... Okay, they shouldn't have to go to a museum to have a saved marriage. They should maybe go to a therapist.
Well,
what are your thoughts
on
therapy?
Well, we don't know what happened in their life. Maybe they were able to talk things through. Maybe that's why they came and they were able to have a conversation and connect to something.
This place definitely makes me want to talk and share my emotions and talk about what I've just experienced.
Like, I can say that, the best, couples therapy, and that's coming from, 10 years of being together and working with the person that I love, was that... having experiences together is the best therapy.
100% agree.
We go, we travel for those experiences because for us, if we go somewhere to an event, it's just work.
Totally.
But when we travel, when we have those experiences, I think that is important.
Agreed.
So maybe this was that for that couple.
All right, I'll concede my point. Maybe they should be together. You went to Greece recently just to have fun, just to like travel?
Yeah, we go annually. We love the nature there. We do our annual pilgrimage. And then we were a little bit in Italy and France for work. So that was fun.
What a tough life. Where are you going next?
Where are we going next? We are going down south to Florida.
Why? For art basil?
For Art Basel, to share art and tech experience.
Could you tell how cultured I am? Art Basel? I'm from the Midwest, ma'am. If you're trying to get someone to come in here, we're using audio in a way to get people into a very interactive space. How would you sell new nature to them? What is the aspect that you would want to get across to get them into the doors?
Speaking of audio, audio is always a huge part of our exhibits. Takes the immersion to the next level. So definitely think audio is important. As far as new nature, yesterday was my first time interacting with it and going through it. I think it's one of the most incredible exhibits we've had to date. All the exhibits that we showcased are very different. What I love about new nature is that it's the most interactive exhibit. It's also the exhibit that breaks the interactivity level from the 2D that we've explored so far into a 3D element, where you have the depth of it, and when you interact, you feel that you're inside of that digital world. And that's something very new and something that I would love for people to experience, because it excited me, and I'd love to see what the reaction of others is.
You're also using the app. The app is somewhat optional, correct?
Well, to a level, the app, we are more using the app to integrate the experience.
Okay.
For this exhibit, there are, as a matter of fact, there are two apps. There's one which is Arctic House, which is an additional layer that creates the augmented reality experience.
Okay.
At the moment, for this week, we actually have a balloon, a hot air balloon on the National Mall that you can launch into the space. It has some cute cats. No cats were harmed in the making of it. But that's an additional element. And then MariP has a separate app where you can control one of the creatures inside the space.
Yes.
You can feed the creature, you can move them around, and then you can interact with it.
And you don't think that takes away from the people that aren't using the app?
I don't think it takes away. It's an additional experience. We do have a floating iPad, so if someone doesn't have it on their phone, they're able to see the interaction.
And in an ideal world, would I see this alone? Would I see this with a group of 10? Would I see this with a group of 30? Because I know that there are timed entrances and things here sell out. So, like, in your ideal world, how are people experiencing this exhibit?
The exhibit is an exploration.
Okay.
It's an individual exploration for each person.
Okay.
It's no different than you were saying, you know, whether it's going through a love tunnel or going through a gallery, it's more interactive.
Yeah.
The room in the back, our media lab, has at least, I think, 10 interactive stations that are almost like petting zoo.
Yeah.
You can pet each creature and you can interact, and it just sucks you in. And that's where MariP's inspiration with the gaming comes from, is that it creates that gaming rush that you can't keep, you know, you can't stop on it.
Yeah. I hope this doesn't come off as bad, but this is a very family-friendly one.
Yes.
Perfect for the holidays.
Yes. Well, we try to mix and match our exhibits. Our past two have been very visual.
Yeah.
We've still had families come through with them. They were for all ages. But we're excited for this one that, yes, we are able to open it to all ages. And the best part of it is it doesn't matter, you know, whether you're a kid or whether you're an adult. When you interact with art, the boundaries are just blended.
That's a wonderful way to end it, but let me ruin it with one more question or slash comment. You don't have a gift shop here. I think you're missing out, because if you just sell some plush toys, you can make some bank, put something on a mug. Let's make some money here. Come on. Why are you anti-capitalist?
We have it coming. It's just... Unfortunately, the construction and opening of it has been slowing us down.
We're different people. I would have just opened the gift shop and then worked a museum around that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Brendan.